particular religion or politic. The majority of people who are in it, have recognized that they like technology and they want to live with it. And a person who likes technology and has curiosity is going to want to know how do things work. I, for one, would be very uncomfortable if I didn't know something about how the television worked, how the refrigerator worked, how the microwave oven worked, how the automobile worked. I don't want to be at the mercy of the people that I've got to continuously call to do the repairs and analysis of those things. I want to know something about them. That's me. Maybe I'm not unique. I want to know something about how it works. The slightly deeper scientist in me wants to know why. At the molecular level, what in the world is really happening? What is Mother Nature telling me? Because knowledge is power. No matter how useless it may seem to you at first, that you're finding out why something works. Not only how, but why. You want to get to the bottom of things on the assumption there is a bottom. And the word bottom is relative. The bottom today at the molecular level is not the bottom of tomorrow where you go into the submolecular level. You get down to the quarks, hadrons, and leptons. What's really going on down there? There's valuable information everywhere. Stay curious, and you don't have to. You don't have to go to an expensive school to gain that knowledge. You just take the word William Beebe, a man's name, and you Google that word, and you start reading his articles. He alone will give you a lot of knowledge. All you got to do is sit in front of the screen and read, and maybe read two or three times, because some of it, an awful lot of the information he's presenting, is the huge errors that exist in the science books that are in our grade schools and high schools and colleges now. Huge errors are in those science-oriented books, and misinformation, a tremendous amount of misinformation, is taking place. He's pointing out many of the areas of the misinformation, and he's pointing out many of the areas where quite often the truth is stranger than the fiction. You wouldn't believe how strange molecules flowing through a wire really are at the molecular level. We got into a little bit of that in the beginning of tonight. I know I'm off to one side of your original question, Mel, but I'm expressing some opinions. K2KEY, K2RIW.
Yeah, this is K2HWW.
Comment, please.
That you really hit the nail on the head when you said about not, you know, being a great businessman and maybe great engineer, knowing the engineering, knowing the hands-on. I guess it's really a good portrait of myself. And a number of my friends who were very savvy business-wise did get some, well, I should say they did get as much background in learning the technical end of this field, but dropped more or less into another aspect of it, of the business end of it. And the bottom line is that my concentration strictly on the technical end, the love of the hands-on and all this, I never achieved the financial level that they have. The guy came with the Rolls Royce and everything. Well, that's basically maybe a little far-fetched, but basically this is what they became, in a couple of cases, extremely well off, and not doing it on the level I was doing it on. So is that when you're finally going to judge a person? Is financially, what was their annual income, or is that the basis how we evaluate people? If they are, I think it's a formula that if they are wealthy, they must be smart, Dick, over.
Yeah. If you're wealthy enough, you can be wrong, and people will think you're right. What is the question you would like to ask or comment you'd like to make?
The point that I would like to make, Dick, is that a majority of Americans do not want to know how things work. They just want to use it. When you say most people would like to know how a TV works, no, most people just turn on the computer and expect it to work. I don't think It's just reality, Dick.
Well, you're right. A majority of people are afraid to ask the question. They're afraid the answer is complicated and they don't want to get into it. A lot of people are like that. It is my belief that they do not live a comfortable life. I have seen the expression of frustration on their faces. I have heard the sound of expression in their voice, of frustration in their voice, because they think they're being raked over the coals by the people that maintain each of those appliances. They don't trust them. So the lack of knowledge of how an appliance works and being able to judge when it's working right and when it's not working right, and maybe the difference is something very simple, like the plug is out of the wall, or a fuse needs replacement, or a knob has to be reset differently on the front panel or the back panel. A person who thoroughly denies any knowledge of the technology, and there are people who will brag about the fact that they have trepidation when they replace a light bulb. They brag about that, that they're afraid to replace a light bulb. In some of the extreme cases, they will hire somebody to replace the light bulb. You can choose to live that kind of a life if you want to. The kind of people that we're talking to now, I don't think fall into that category. They would feel uncomfortable not knowing. They want to have some degree of knowledge, and the more curious ones want a greater and greater degree of knowledge of how it works and why it works. Because they realize that curiosity is valuable and knowledge is power, and they just can't get enough of it. And you've got a huge resource these days with that internet. Wow. Tim Berners-Lee, the guy who is sometimes accredited with the invention of the internet, did a huge thing for mankind. Information is now transmitted around the world at tremendous speed, at tremendous volume. You just Google the right words or use any other search engine that you like, and boy, there's a lot of knowledge available to you. You don't have to buy expensive books. You can buy a relatively inexpensive computer, sit in front of it, ask the right questions, and read what's on that screen. And all of a sudden, you'll have a lot more knowledge if you desire that.
Repeater, time out.
To come in here, I want to reply back to you.
Okay. If you desire that, and you should desire that, we're going to pick up Howie and then give another a space for Kent if he wants to join us. You got it, Howie.
Hey, I'm going to tell you this. I've been a ham for many, many years. You know, probably if any, you know, not as many years as you, Dick, because I'm a lot older than I am. But the majority of people who are coming into this hobby, all they want to do is push the mic and talk. They don't want to know how things work. You know, that's why, you know, that's just the way it is. I'm just sorry to say that. The majority of people in this country, all they want to do is throw that light switch on, and that's it. Why is that? I think a lot of people are overwhelmed. A lot of people are frustrated with what their situations are. You know, they can't deal with complicated issues. Most people tune out. And, you know, that's just what's happening both in the technical end and in our society from a political end. Most people cannot comprehend the very complicated issues in today's society and what's going on, Dick. You know, you are a minority. We're in a minority who really want to know what's happening.
A function of education, K2J.
Okay, Eric, we're going to hear from you. And I've got a comment on what Howie just said. Go ahead, Eric. And by the way, people were mentioning earlier, we think we've ironed it out, and that is that when we watch 21-1, at some times we're watching high def, and we can adjust the format of our old-fashioned television set with the digital converter in front of it. Other times we cannot, and on 21-2 and 21-3, we cannot. And we think because they were originally recorded or being played back in the 4x3 mode. That was the guess we finally came to. Over to you for any of the above, Eric. KE2EJ, that you're on duty tonight. K2RIW.
All right, K2RIW, KE2EJ. First of all, everything that you get on 21 is all standard definition. There's no hard definition on it whatsoever. So your guess is a little off base. People are not interested in things because when you're very young and you are taught to curious about things, then you begin to get really curious, especially when you look at things and discover new things. And it's all about learning, and it's all about education. We don't teach creative thinking in this country. We don't teach you how to take a person and become creative. That may be a whole another thing about how you do that, okay, or can you do that even, but education system seems to lack the necessary, you know, being able to give you the necessary tools to even come to a point in life to have an interest in science, or to have an interest in math, or to have an interest in why things work. But, oh well, we live in a country that doesn't value certain things. When you go into places like Japan, or you go to Europe, there's a different set of value systems that people live by. KQRWK2J.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with what Howie said and what Eric said, but I'm going to add to it. Howie, I'm going to take the message you gave us and group it unfairly into the cubbyhole that says we're going to the dogs. To a degree, that's true. To a degree, it is not true. I can read issues of QST magazine printed in 1946 and the ham radio operators writing articles and writing editorials in those days complained about the fact that not very many guys build their own receiver anymore. They go out and buy a store-bought receiver. They're not real ham radio operators. They're appliance operators. Well, we've been becoming appliance operators, and we've been going to the dogs for an awful long period of time. The Romans were writing articles saying that, hey, we're going to the dogs. Well, we're not quite at the kennel yet. As we get older, we see more and more of people wasting resources, wasting capability, and it bothers us. But I think the percentage is always there. My impression of, for instance, the progressive people in ham radio, it is my belief they're continuously moving up the spectrum. Let me drop. In 1950, a progressive guy was on 6 meters. Boy, that was a high frequency. We move up a decade in frequency, every decade in years. The really progressive guys today are experimenting with 22, 47, and 75 gigahertz. And they're talking to each other and comparing notes and building hardware that you can't buy, putting things together, finding rare ammonium and unobtainium pieces of hardware at various flea markets and whatever. So if you seek the right group of people on the right frequency range, you will find the degree of progressiveness you desire. You don't go to the swamp to find guys that are interested in high technology. And the word swamp could mean where I go on the internet, what frequency range I go on to on ham radio. You're not going to find as many people with very progressive ideas on 80 meters. But that's an opinion. I'm not an 80 meter man. On 432 and 1296 and 10 gigs, you'll find much more progressive people. They're communicating with each other, and they're going to what they think is a frontier. So I don't think we're going to the dogs. Yes, there's a high percentage of appliance operators, without a doubt. A certain percentage of those guys start off as appliance operators, start talking to people, and start becoming curious. One last drop. In my opinion, a really good parent is going to try to teach his children and everyone around that education is extremely valuable and curiosity is extremely valuable. If you succeed as a parent teaching them a little bit of ethics and a little bit of the desire for curiosity in education, then by my standards, you're at least partially successful as a parent. Because if they're going to do something of use with their life, they're going to need those ingredients. And be careful about a person's origin. Just because a guy comes from a poor background, just because a guy got into ham radio by starting off with Citizens Band, just because he's a 2-meter handy-talky appliance operator today, doesn't mean we should write him off. A certain percentage of those guys will get on ANET. They'll start talking to people. They get on the internet. They'll start talking to people. They'll discover that there's more to their universe than the little portion that they've seen up till now. And with that curiosity and desire for education, they'll go beyond and do things. So it's hard to judge. I mean, you may have set yourself up as a club that tries to avoid whiz kids, space cadets, and whatever undesirable word you use, CBeers. Be careful you don't throw out the baby with the washwater, if you know what I mean. That's a bunch of opinions. K2RIW listening. Anybody else that wants to give me some call letters?
K2KEY. All right, let me continue, close this off, and then we'll get back to a little ham radio.
Well, this is an extremely valuable subject related to ham radio, because there is no better place that I know of to get education and curiosity and exposure than ham radio. And that's one of its greatest values, in my opinion. Back to you, Mel.
Okay, I think you gave the best analogy when you said earlier that very few people today want to learn how to find the square root of a number just for curiosity's sake by the old-fashioned long method that we did back when we went to high school. You mentioned also you built that rig with the 807s and you used the speaker as your microphone, et cetera, et cetera. What percent, I know when we started out, especially when I started out, it would be very rare if you found a new ham, a novice, that had purchased, was able to purchase, or did purchase his transmitter. True, they most likely bought possibly the receiver, that was one of the telecrafters, Nationals, or whatever was around. But there were plenty of them, though, were like myself, that were using surplus receivers and all, and built a fair transmitter. Do you think you're going to find what percentage of new hams coming in today do you think would take that route, take over?
A much smaller percentage, but for a good reason, Mark. I mean, Mel. A good modern-day receiver, like the one you're listening to right now, you're listening to a Kenwood TS711A, 1985 vintage, I guess it is. But I'll bet you there's the equivalent, inside those integrated circuits, there's the equivalent of 1,000 tubes inside that rig. I can buy that rig used with 1 week's salary. It would take me a man year to build it. And after I spent the man year building it, I would own it for the rest of my life. No one would buy it from me. For that week's salary, I can buy this thing, use it. 2 years later, I decide I want to upgrade to something else. I can get 80% of my money back out of it. So when it comes to bang for the dollar on modern-day transceivers, you sort of have to buy. However, the guys that are on 1296, let's see, they can still buy a Down East Microwave transverter. So the guys that are on 3.3 gigs and above, they're building their transmitters, they're building their receivers. For the most part, they're building their antennas, and there's a lot of them out there. The progressive guys, almost the same percentage of ham radio operators today as the percentage of builders you had in 1956, almost the same percentage exists, and they're just on a different portion of the spectrum, and they're still building. You don't want to build an HF transceiver anymore. You want to buy it. But if you're really progressive, you go to the frontier frequencies, and you have to start building transmitter, receiver, and antenna, because you have no choice. And you compare your notes with other guys that are doing it, and you enjoy it. And you go to microwave update meetings, and VHF conferences, and so on. It is my belief that roughly the same percentage of progressive people are still there. You have to move with them if you want to keep hearing it. You stay on the older frequencies, and you'll think the hobby is dying. The hobby is not dying. Like everything else, it's shifting and adapting and evolving. You got to evolve or cease to exist. You got to roll with the changes. There's going to be continuous changes. That's an opinion. I'm with you, Mel, K2RIW.
Hey, that's your opinion, that KUI. In a way, I agree more or less with Howie, that he said a small percentage want to know how that cell phone, how that rig, how that TV, how that microwave, how it works. They're really not really that interested. They're interested, if I push this button, what is it going to do what I think it should do? That's the bottom line. Very hard to sell, because I have dealt with a number of young people. I've gone to Boy Scouts. groups that spoke about ham radio and demonstrated. Boy, oh boy, I said if I got one person, one kid out of the whole bunch that was going, went much further with it, it was unusual. We had down at our club meeting, we had gangs, I mean big groups of Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and everything come down, always inviting them down. That's one of our primary interests in our club, to try to you know, encourage young people to come into ham radio, and very, very few. And I know of the few, no, they wouldn't think of even attempting, even with a small budget, to say, well, I want to get on the air one way or the other. Could I, why can't I buy one of these little QRP rigs? And they do have nice little still kits around QRP rigs, and put it together. Nope. If I can't go to Daddy and get that $1,000 plus transceiver, I'm not interested. Let me let it drop.
Yeah, I want to put in the...
You had a young person that became a ham radio operator in your family, and they said, oh, my little friend Johnny, father bought him one of those $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 rigs that they have out now, and why can't I have one? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll buy you the K2 kit, and you put it together, and you will have the equivalent, which it will. It will really be on equal. K2 would be inundated with orders, Vic, and it's not happening, over.
Yeah, but you're describing another...
WW. I'd like to make a comment, Dick.
Howie recognized. I'm going to go to Howie and then Kent in that order, if Kent is still here. But I'm going to first put in a comment of my own. What you're describing, Mel, is a characteristic of human beings. Every brand new idea will never be immediately accepted, with rare exception. If you and I opened up a company that built the world's best brand new mousetrap, and we put an advertisement in the Good Housekeeping magazine about our new mousetrap, until you put that advertisement in the magazine 3 months in a row, until your potential audience sees it multiple times, they do not accept the concept. When you appeared at that Boy Scout meeting, the majority of those people were hearing about ham radio for the first time in their life. They have to hear it multiple times before they can accept the concept. They have to hear it from a couple of their friends. If you don't hear it from the street, it can't be real. I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. Good advertising requires putting the properly worded ad with the right kind of photograph in 3, 4, 5, 6 consecutive magazines. When a person sees it a whole lot of times in a row and starts thinking about it, he suddenly starts envisioning the possibility of that thing in his house doing something beneficial. Rarely do you accept a good idea the very first time you hear it. You have to sell the idea. That's an opinion. Go ahead, Howie. KQRIW.
KC2QIQ with a comment.
Glenn after Howie. Well, it's going to be Howie, Kent, and then Glenn in that order. Go ahead, Howie.
I don't totally agree with you. Look at what happened to the Apple iPod. Took off like gangbusters. But let's get back to how I got into ham radio. And there's nothing wrong with CB. I was about 9 years old, maybe 8 or 9, and I was with my parents. And I can remember this was on a Friday. Back many years, or whatever year it was. And we were in a store, and I saw somebody with a walkie-talkie talking to his wife, and I started asking the guy questions, and I said to my father, I want that. My father went to Lafayette and came back with a pair of walkie-talkies. Spent about $70 on the highest quality CB walkie-talkie. And then about 6 months later, I met a ham in the neighborhood, and for $35, I bought a Helicraptor S85, and I had a wire running around my room. And that's how I got into ham radio. And a year later, I got a CB ring. And then about a year and a half later, I got my ham ticket. So, and that's how I learned a lot about radio. You don't see people walking around with walkie-talkies. Back then, I was 8 years, 9 years old, and I said to my father, I want that walkie-talkie. And he went out and bought me a pair of walkie-talkies. And me and my father would talk on it. And I listened to the people in the neighborhood, found out what CB was about, and then got a CB rig. We had a CB rig in the house and a CB rig in a car. And from there, it's history. That's how I got into electronics, just by accident, just by seeing somebody with a walkie-talkie. You know what? It's got to be in your blood. It's got to be magical that makes you go into this hobby, Dick. You know the comment. And Dick, the other comment that I wanted to make is this. A lot of people, they don't even understand the fundamentals of economics. They just tune themselves out. They don't want to deal with the complicated situations. I hear so many people making comments about, you know, how things work, and they think that it's all, you know, whatever. It's run by people in Washington. People don't realize things, just markets work on their own. People don't even have the fundamental ideas of what's going on. And you know what else, Dick? The average person doesn't read as much as they used to read. The average person listens to TV. The average person would rather listen to American Idol than spend an hour listening to the news. Less people watch the news, Dick. Less people pick up the New York Times. Less people read the Wall Street Journal than they did 25 years ago. They rather spend the time listening to American Idol or playing with the K2RIW, WD2HWW.
AC2EFR.
AC2AE with a comment. Okay, EFR and AU both recognized, and you've got two other people ahead of you, unfortunately. Alrighty, you're still of the opinion that we're going to the dogs, Howie. I'm not quite as pessimistic as you. Without a doubt, there's a degree of truth in what you're saying. But I still think there's a progressive group out there. Let the machine drop, and let's see if Kent wants to add to this. Hopefully he's got something a little bit more optimistic. WA5EJB, K2RIW and the Tech Man.
Yes, I do. WA5EJB in the group. What I'm hearing is you guys think that Long Island and New York is the rest of the United States. It is not. Around here we have extensive manufacturing facilities. We have extensive electronics manufacturing. I'm supporting a factory over in Fort Worth that makes 10 to 12,000 antennas a week. They are directly competing with China and winning. I sell about 5 to 7,000 circuit board antennas a year. I used to have these made in China. I'm now having them made in Dallas, because Dallas is cheaper. You can directly compete with China, and you can beat them on a whole lot of different areas. You're up in an area that it's an anti-business climate. It would be very hard to start a manufacturing facility up there. But we have extensive electronic manufacturing in this area. WA5VJB.
Wow. You mean to tell me the New York City metropolitan area is not the whole damn United States? Come on, Kent. We believe we're the be-all, end-all. Whatever we see in our backyard, that is the whole darn United States. Isn't that true? Obviously, I'm being facetious. Whoa. Okay. There are different lifestyles. You mean to say New York, New Jersey, and Long Island, and Connecticut, that's not it? There's something else? Wow. Hey, Glenn, KC2QIQ, go right ahead. You're the third person on the list. You got it, Glenn.
I know, I love that comment. It's beautiful, and you have to love it, because there is a lot of truth to it. But I think just in general, technology, engineering, scientists in the United States are not really treated, to the general public, the way a sports figure is, the way that certain business people are, your Donald Trumps. In other words, the people that people look up to or are generally respected in many, many ways are, it's not the engineer and the scientist. So it's not unusual
to hear these things, especially in when the times where times get a little tough and things where, okay, it looks like a lot of these things are dying and they're disappearing. But historically, it's always kind of been the case for technology. You know, this has never been the leading edge for anybody. I can even say from my own personal experience, traveling to Germany, to France, and other countries, where an engineer is treated completely different. I mean, you're treated like a doctor or a professional, like a lawyer or something when you go into these countries. The fact that you're a diplomat engineer, it's an amazing difference, where you don't really have that here in the United States. And certainly, yes, there are always pockets of where manufacturing and engineering are going to be stronger in different parts of the United States. But I think in general, these are just kind of like waves. You know, you had the Apollo programs, the space programs, they kicked off, and all of a sudden the universities had to pump out a lot of engineers. Now there isn't as much of a need, so it slows down a little bit. You had, of course, the telecom boom, and all of a sudden tons and tons of engineers were hired. The aviation at one point was very, very big here, you know, and you see big hiring. So a lot of this goes in waves, too. So, and then again, just with the compounded issue that, you know, the amount of general respect that the public has for engineers here in the States is not equivalent to some other areas in the world. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
Yeah, Dean Kamen is a guy who recognizes the fact that the majority of high school students know the name of the best basketball player and the best hockey player and the best baseball player and so on, football players, and yet they don't know the names of the scientists that have done great breakthroughs. Our emphasis in the wrong direction. So Dean is using this first concept of him, because he's so successful in all the patents he owns and all the things he's invented. He's the guy who invented that two-wheeled scooter thing. Why can't I think of the name of it? Somebody will tell me the name real soon. This motorized thing that self-balances. It's one of many things that he has invented. So he has a
Segway.
Segway is the right word. Thank you. He is supplying all of these components to high school students and allowing them to build these robots to go into competitions, because not only are the kids having fun, but they're learning technology. And they're suddenly discovering that, hey, there is something else to worship besides sports figures. And you may think your favorite a guy behind the bat at your favorite baseball team is the most desirable thing to do, but he's one person in a million. You try to seek as an occupation what he's doing, your chances of success are very slim. Back in the old days, people would say, gee, I want to be Gene Autry. I was only one of those. So there are people applying corrective action to this, but so New York City is not at all. Wow. And I thought that was the heart of the universe. It's not. Boy, my disillusion. Mr. EFR, I think it was. Give us your full call letters and your name and your question or comment, sir. K2RIW. My name is Dick.
Dick, my name is Mitch. We've spoken before. KC2EFR, and a frequent listener, and once in a while check in. And I just have a couple of quick comments. I'll try to make them as quick as possible. But when you look at the flow of engineering students worldwide coming into the U.S., the numbers are greater than those we're exporting. You know, people from all over the world certainly want to study engineering and sciences at our great institutions. When you look at Rhodes Scholars, for instance, every time you hear about one, and you do hear about them a lot, when they go out to study, they're generally not studying sciences. Mostly they're studying international politics, so on. So I think talking about the demise of our engineering infrastructure and science infrastructure is exaggerated. And just then, one more comment. Mel, I love you, because I listen to you on the TechNet all the time. And you once spoke to me when we were able to contact each other on HF when I was up at camp, because I run a summer camp amateur radio program. I'm up there part-time, very successful, and the kids love it, and I get 20 kids or so signed up, And almost every year, at least a couple get their licenses. This past year, three kids got their license and one father. And it's a mistake to take your experience with one quick exhibition at a Boy Scout thing. Dick is 100% right. These are seeds that you plant. Those are my comments. Back to you, Dick. KC2EFR.
Well done, Mitch. And Mitch knows what New York City is capable of doing. He lives there. Mel, you might want to answer some of what Mitch just said. KE2KEY. Go ahead, Mel.
Just to follow up, I followed a number of people. I started a lot of people in ham radio. Don't get me wrong. I most likely started cheap. I would say without exaggeration, 40, 50, no, maybe 60, 70. I could conceivably say I would have started a heck of a lot of people in ham radio. I have followed a number of them after to see where are they, what are they doing, what kind of projects they're working on. Maybe I could make a schedule with them. You know, Dick, I ran across one last week. Let's average it out, maybe I started, say, 50 people, I'll be conservative, in ham radio. Out of that group, do you know, I would say that less than 10 of them are still active. Oh, yeah, they renewed, some of them have renewed their ham license, but they said, oh, well, nice to have and all, but, there was, you know, the bad wore off, and, even though I've told them also, like you said, 24 different types of ham radio there is. You get tired of this. Why don't you try this? Why don't you see into that? Well, it's got other things on my mind and everything. In other words, they got very excited at the beginning with it, like many people, and then dropped it sort of a proverbial hot potato. And that's what it is. I have looked into. I wanted to see what happens with the effort that I put into these different individuals, different things. Did they get the ham license? What did they do with it? And that's why I based it on. I see very few are still in the amateur radio active field over.
That's true of almost any hobby, Mel. A guy who starts stamp collecting may not do it for the rest of his life. No matter what you do, a guy who starts horseback riding is not going to do it for the rest of his life. We are oddballs. There's only one ham radio operator per 500 people in the general population of the United States. Only one per 500. Two of us per 1,000. 0.2%. We're rarities. Techies, rarities. And the fact that some of them get in there and some of them don't stick with it. And maybe they don't want to be oddballs. They don't want to be techies. They don't want to be eggheads. They want to join the rest of the crowd. The other 99.8% of the population is not ham radio operator. It's interesting also that when it comes to private pilots in the United States, there's roughly one of those per 500 in the general population. You and I are not pilots, but we try to think of all the friends we've got, how many of them are private pilots. We think there's almost none of them. There's the same number of those as hams. It's a matter of what circle you travel in. The fact that two-thirds of them or three-quarters of them have dropped out, it's not discouraging. That's normal human nature. It's a rare hobby. You have to have the passion and to stick with it. The guy who I learned my license with, the two of us were extremely close friends in high school, and another guy who I worked with who I thought was really a dyed-in-the-wool ham. Both of them have allowed their licenses to lapse. Bothers me. It's a waste of a capability. But I know something about what they're doing in their lives. They're very busy with other things right now. An amazing number of people who were once a ham radio operator, when they go into retirement and got a little bit of free time, go back to it. There's a hell of a lot of white-haired guys, and bald guys that are ham radio operators. A significant number of them are retreads. Seems like once a week I will hear on this repeater somebody who said, I was away for it for 15 years and now I've come back. And I had to go get a brand new set of call letters.
Mr. AU, I forget what the rest of your call is, sir. Give me your full call and your name and your question or comment. K2R.
Repeater, timeout.
K2RIW, over to Mr. AU. My name is Dick. You got it, sir.
KC2MIQ from Riverhead, Long Island. First name, Charlie. I'd just like to make a comment. Do I have it?
You own it, Charlie. Go right ahead.
I can only speak for New York State. We have people in Albany who make the curriculum for all of our students throughout the state of New York. That includes Long Island. And one of the problems is they need to be educated in, not that they're doing a bad job, but they need to be educated in other forms of education other than just computers, because that curriculum is handed down to a, let's say, a gung-ho type, very talented math teacher or science teacher, and he has to go by the rules, and he can't break those rules because of the curriculum that he is told that he must teach. Let me drop it. So this problem of the students not having diversification or not having common sense goes a long way. If the computer tells them to, during a fire drill, that they have to go out door 4, and door 4 has to be the door that is supporting the fire, they don't use their heads. They don't go to door 3 or door 2 to get out. Now that's an exaggerated view, but it's very, very true. Not everybody can be in computers and have a nice soft job where he goes in with a white shirt and a tie. Sometimes you have to look under the computer and get a little dirty. That's my view on this particular discussion. Now, I probably will get, a lot of derogatory remarks, but I've been in the business 70 years. I've been an industrial model maker all my life, and that's a very rare type job. So you're right, Dick, in what you said. I've made a fantastic and had a fantastic career. Back to net control.
Hey, Dick.
AC2AE with a comment.
AE and hey, Dick, recognized, and I think that was Ed. Is that you, Ed?
Yeah, just a quick comment. He makes some good points, except assuming that computer programmers wear white shirts and ties, you haven't seen too many of them lately, that's all.
Now we're getting back to sandals and shark teeth. Charlie, you're not going to get flack from us. No, you're absolutely right. You have found something that you have a passion for. It's a rare skill. And you brought up an extremely other good point, and that is science teachers are forced into a particular curriculum. So even if Mel and I and the other guys gathered here, convince science teachers and the teachers in the colleges that teach electromagnetic theory by a very old-fashioned technique, by my standard, even if we convince them for a change, we're preaching to the choir in some cases, or we're complaining about the movie to the ticket taker. It's the wrong place.
whoever sets the curriculum, we have to change his mind in order to apply corrective action. We got to go much further upstream in the things that we've been discussing tonight that we think apply, require corrective action. So the problem is more generic, more universal. We got to go back more steps and further upstream in order to correct it. But I'm still convinced we're not going to the dogs. This is not the end of ham radio. I've heard people discuss that once we let in incentive licensing, once we get rid of the Morse code, that we're all going to go to hell in a handbasket, that ham radio is doomed. I've heard that so many times, that without the filter of Morse code, we're not going to get good operators. Well, it ain't quite like that. There's a lot more to the story, and still, we have to admit to ourselves, and it's hard, because we all communicate with each other. We think the whole world is ham radio operators. There's only one per 500 in the population in most of the progressive countries. That's true of Australia, Japan, the United States, England, Canada, most of the progressive countries. One per 500. We're rare birds. 0.2% of the population. 2 per 1,000. So, as such, of some of the ones that we talk into it, the fact that they don't stay there is understandable. Mr. A.E., I only got that much of your call. Please give us the rest of your call and your name, sir. K2RIW, my name is Dick.
How you doing, K2RIW? This is Alpha Charlie 2, Alpha Echo. Joe is my first name. And I just had a few comments. You know, listening to you guys for some time, I didn't check in earlier, but I came by a little bit later in the evening. But I definitely understand, you know, both sides of the coin on this discussion. You know, I personally agree with you, Dick. I don't think that this hobby is dying. I think it is shifting, and I believe it's going to UHF, VHF. It's a lot easier. But as to what Mel said, for sure, these people are buying their radios, spending thousands of dollars. They're not getting into the actual mechanics and, or I should say, the electronics part of the radio, which is perfectly fine as well. You know, they're getting on the air, they're talking, they're getting their licenses, they're getting the experience. Some people do forward engineering, some people do backwards engineering, and, you know, meaning that people buy their rigs and, you know, progress with it, or they buy their rigs and then they study their rigs and, you know, go, you know, reverse engineer the electronics of it. However they do it, you know, it's getting done. But as far as people having original ideas, I think there's a lot of carbon copies out there. I think we need some new ideas for antennas. And I think just that there's different aspects of the radio. You know, we've got the HF side, we've got the UHF, we've got CW, FM, we've got AM sideband. You know, there's so many different aspects. I think if we just look in the right places, we'll find, you know, our contacts out there. I've only been a ham since January, and there's not been a day I've gone on this radio on UHF, VHF, HF, that I have not made a new contact or met a new person or made a new friend. That's just some of my thoughts of the evening. This is AC2AE, and I'll give it back to Net Control.
Who is that just signed in right now?
KB2ATV.
KB2ATV. We'll get to you in a second. You got some good opinions there, Joe. You know, it sounds to me like you're one of the guys that's going to stick with it, and you're going to be one of the guys that keeps enjoying it. There's always going to be people who get into it for not quite the right reasons or not quite the right way. If my son suddenly developed an interest in astronomy, and he is, let's say, 8 years of age, I have the resources to buy him a small telescope, a set of binoculars, and I might have the resources to go out and buy him a 10-inch diameter Schmidt-Cassegrain telescope for $3,000. It is my recommendation that you not buy that as the first telescope for a whole bunch of reasons. A person should slowly walk up the chain, so to speak, find out if he's really interested. You suddenly buy something that is the top of the line and hand it to a person.
there's a high probability they'll use it for a week, and it'll gather dust from then on. They become disinterested for the wrong reasons. Mel recommended that you give a guy a kit, a K2 or a K3 kit, where he puts it together with his own hands, develops not only a skill, but an emotional attachment to the device. And then he starts going through the procedure of aligning it and putting it on the air. And it works. He started off with a pile of parts, and it becomes a living, breathing thing. And he develops an emotional attachment to it. That's the way to get a person interested in technology. Let me drop. I was 5 years of age. My father was putting together a stick model, rubber band powered model airplane on the dining room table, and essentially ignoring me. Maybe I was 6 years of age. I'm walking by and saying, "What's happening?" And, "Hey, I'd like to be part of this." He allowed me to cut a couple of the sticks and install them onto the wax paper that's on top of the drawings. It's all being held down with pins and glued, if you know what I mean. And eventually that airplane got completed, got test flown a couple of times by gliding it in the backyard, went out into the field and really flew it. And for the next 10 years of my life, I was interested in model airplanes. He did the Tom Sawyer bit. Howie had his version of the Tom Sawyer bit. He saw something desirable and got involved in it. So you got to allow a person to slowly walk through the steps. Just don't jump to the end of the line, is an opinion. It works for some people, but I don't think it's the right way to go. KB2, Alpha Tango Victor is what it sounded like. Start with your name, sir, and your comment. K2LIW in the TechNet. My name is Dick.
Yeah, Dick, it's Bob, KB2ATV, here in Brooklyn, and just wanted to make a comment. I'm mostly involved in amateur television from 10 gig to 900 to 440, but I believe the absence of Radio Row, as I'm sure you know where that was, and I could remember the days of walking down Radio Row and looking at a piece of equipment, not knowing even what it was, and wind up taking it home and getting it working and go get some military cavities or 4CX250Bs and putting them on the air. I just think the lack of surplus today, I mean, when I do have young fellas come by my house and nephews and stuff like that, they get to see the old equipment and tubes glowing. Quite a few of them became radio operators. And I just think it's the absence of seeing all this stuff out there like it used to be. So, but it's still a great hobby. I see many people fascinated by it. It's just a lack of surplus on the streets as it used to be. Over to you, Dick. KB2ATV.
Yeah, boy, do I remember the days of Cortlandt Street, Canal Street, Radio Row, with rows and rows and rows of stores selling all that stuff. And because of the World Trade Center, that all got wiped out. But we have the equivalent today, Bob. We've got eBay. We've got Dayton Hamvention. We've got flea markets. We've got Hosark and whatever. So it's changed. We have to roll with the punches. You're talking about the good old days. I think we've only got a couple of seconds left. This was TechNet number 1247. Next week, I think Mal and I will be back if all well. Mel, I think you've got 1 minute. You better be careful. K2KEY. Thank you all. K2RIW in the TechNet.
Hey, just going to say goodnight to all. You're right. Everybody had a great opinion, and I agree with many of them, and I have my own opinion. But the bottom line is my club, Kings County Radio Club. If you look at it, I don't think we have anybody under 30 in the club anymore. When I first started out, the Kings Radio Club, that was the original, had more than 50% of people under 20. So that's the only conclusion I can come to, but I guess we could debate this indefinitely. 73 to all, and as Dick said, we'll try to do it again next week. Take care. Have a great week. This is K2KEY.
Yeah, Mel?
Great net. KC2MIQ.
Thank you, Ms. MIQ. And Mel promises we're going to settle all these issues next week. Tune in next week and hear Mel settle them all. 73, you all. Bye-bye for now.
The time is 12 a.m. 670. 3.
K4 NBC. Good night.
Net tonight at 8:30. Net tonight at 8:30.
Good night, Mr. NBC.
K2RIW, WA5VJV, hello, Dick.
Hello, Kent. I'm finding out that Dallas does manufacture things less expensively than Southeast Asia and China. Wow. I presume some of that is because of the size of the order and shipping and time delay and whatever. So New York is not everything. Boy, is that an eye-opening for us. Have we been humbled? Thank you, Ken.
Well, you'd certainly never know that listening to the anchors at ABC, NBC, and CBS. And around here, all the local schools are controlled by the local school board. Texas has some guidelines, but the local school board set the curriculums, not a central authority who thinks they know what everybody in every place needs to know. Just too much variation over the state. I had a phone call tonight. The guy was got a company looking for an RF engineer and wanted to know if I knew anybody I could recommend. And it's hard to find some. I'd also like to quote Warren Buffett, who was very critical of the Northeast business schools when he mentioned MBAs. He says they're teaching the MBAs today how to make money off of the investors rather than how to make money off of profits. K2RIWS, WA5BJB.
Yeah, I guess the problem with the first approach is that you're emphasizing how to cheat people as opposed to how to do something useful. It's got to be a better way. Huh. So I guess you have told me from time to time in our telephone conversation something about the fact you're doing local manufacture of your antennas. But I guess until tonight it never really stuck. I didn't really catch on. And do you believe this is a trend? Do you believe that a certain percentage of what used to be outsourcing is going to become re-insourcing because of the degree of difficulties that occurred with outsourcing and the fact that the outsourcing in some cases did not make a fantastic profit for the overall endeavor? So are we going to start doing a little bit more insourcing after we've tried outsourcing in some areas? Over to you, Ken, K2RIW.
It totally depends on the company philosophy and their management. In many cases, it can be done in the U.S. for less. It just depends on how you're setting things up. About 6 month lead time. Yeah, I'd go back to China. But if you're having 1,000 boards made, and looking at shipping and other lead time costs, it can be done for less expensively here. A lot of stuff can be done here for a lot less. I don't think you can do it in the New York area. Quite literally, you have city governments which are, shall we say, not close to business. Four states, the highest tax rates are the four states that have the highest budget problems. something wrong there. They don't understand. Texas does not have an income tax, and we're going to have a budget surplus this year. It doesn't make sense. KQRIW, WA5VJG.
It does sound like there's a message there. Sure does. Okay, I'm listening to... I hear a little bit of noise in the background. I guess I don't know how you're getting this machine. I'm guessing that you're doing it by way of a echo link into a local machine that in turn gets into a second local machine on Long Island that eventually gets into this machine.
147.375 output, 975 input. Is that approximately how you're doing it? Or are you doing it purely by VoIP? I'm guessing you're doing it by something equivalent to EchoLink. Over to you, Kent.